Number 2, on the first epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the wonderful name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God. We turn to the epistle, the first epistle of John, written by God's servant long ago to the family of God. We would read the first 4 verses of this first epistle in chapter 1. Without any introduction about himself, John writes to declare that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and report, or show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare or report we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. May God bless the reading of these first 4 verses of this wonderful epistle, the first letter written by John. Now let us keep in our minds the very simple and the brief outline of John's epistle that we can begin with in this study. For the letter can be divided into 2 great divisions very easily. The first division takes up the subject of the family with the Father in chapters 1 and 2. We certainly again would remind us, our hearts, that the epistle is a family letter written to the children of God. And the first section of the epistle relates to the subject of the family with the Father. The second section or division consists of the remaining chapters of the book, chapters 3 through 5. And within this division, we shall find that the subject is the family and their life within the world. The Father is not only concerned, properly so, about the family and their fellowship with him, but also with their lives while they are in this present world, representing him. Let us remember these 2 facts. First, in chapters 1 and 2, the family with the Father. And then second, in the remaining chapters 3 through 5, the family and their life within the world. This wonderful introduction of the epistle sets before us immediately the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. John calls him the Word of Life and declares that he was manifested to us, meaning he himself and his companion apostles and disciples of the early days. And his great theme and purpose is to present us with the incarnate Son of God for our heart's contemplation. The one whom John and his companion disciples knew so intimately when he was upon the earth in the days of his flesh. In the Gospel of John, as in the preceding message we stated, the Apostle wrote to present the glory of his deity, and he introduced him in that Gospel at the very commencement of it, as the eternal Word, who existed before time or creation ever began. But the opening words of our epistle say, that which was from the beginning. And these words have not the same meaning as the opening words of John's Gospel. Here in the epistle, John is referring to the incarnation of Christ, and he refers back to the beginning of his existence upon the earth. This is proved by the words which follow. For John says, the one of whom he is writing is the one whom we have heard. We have seen. We have looked upon him. We have handled him. Which definitely indicates the earthly experiences of the apostle and his fellow disciples when they accompanied their blessed Lord in the days of his earthly ministry. For we are definitely assured they had no knowledge and fellowship with him in the eternity past from which he came to the earth to take a human form. But how meaningful are John's words when he declares, we heard him, we have seen him, we have looked upon him, our hands have handled him. It was John the Baptist who first directed John to Christ in John's Gospel chapter 1, where it is recorded. And John the Baptist said of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That was the beginning of John's experience of a life of friendship and fellowship with the Son of God, ever listening to his words as he traveled along with him through those years of his public ministry. John and his companions could say, we heard him with our own ears. And then he declares, we have seen him with our own eyes. When John first followed the Lord, there was a friend with him by the name of Andrew. And they both heard the words of John the Baptist and followed Jesus. The Lord Jesus turned and saw them following, and he said to them, whom seek ye? They answered, Master, where dwellest thou? Then Jesus replied and said, come and see. And face to face with their new master, they experienced the greatest sight ever to behold upon the earth. They saw the wonderful person of the Son of God in his incarnate form as he walked and as they lived with him upon the earth. Oh, what a sight must have been theirs when they could write, as we have now read, we have seen him with our eyes. But John goes further to state, we have looked upon him. Literally, the expression means, we have contemplated him very earnestly and intently. This same blessed person, we've intently gazed upon him, upon his life, upon his actions, all through the years we were with him in his public ministry. What a privilege, and what an opportunity. But deeper still, John goes on to say, we have handled him. We even touched him with our hands. Even leaning upon the bosom of Christ, which we noted in the preceding message, as recorded in John chapter 13. What a privilege was John's. And then even after his resurrection, when the Lord Jesus appeared in the midst of his surprised disciples, in the upper room when they were filled with fear, then at its sudden appearance, they were fearful also. Then the Savior said to them, handle me and see. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Yes, he was still the incarnate Son of God. He was still in a body of flesh. John gives the report of what he had heard, what he had seen, what he with his friends had looked upon and handled, the man who was and is the Word of Life. Yes, the one who is that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Oh, my beloved radio friend, this is one of the most absolute evidences of the incarnation of the Son of God, whom John, with his fellow companions, saw face to face and dwelt with and lived with during the years of his ministry below. Now, my beloved radio friend, do you believe John's report from these words? His convincing message about the Son of God who became flesh? And became flesh that he might redeem us by going to the cross in that body of humanity that God gave to him, that he might be the perfect and the atoning sacrifice for your sins and for mine? My beloved, you and I can never have the experiences of John except one way, and that is by faith. We were not on the earth when Jesus walked here. But by faith, we can hear him. By faith, we may see him. By faith, we may gaze upon him. By faith, we may handle him. For there is sufficient evidence not only from John, but from other witnesses who have recorded in the Word of God the record of God's only Son being incarnate in order to save this poor sinful humanity. Said the Savior to Thomas, "Blessed are they that believe and have not seen." Oh, today, my friend, it is not seeing that is believing. It is rather believing that is seeing. My radio listener, can I ask you the simple but earnest question? Have you believed the report concerning the fact God's only Son became your Savior and was incarnate upon the earth, and still bears a human body? And in that body, he went to the cross to die for your sins, to bring you, as well as to bring to me, eternal life. John is so properly written near the end of his epistle in chapter 5. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son hath not life. My listener, do you have life in the Son of God? If never you have put your trust in him, this is a moment of opportunity as well as responsibility for you to say, "Lord Jesus, thou art the Son of God who became flesh to die for my sins. I accept thee as my Savior." Blessed Father, sanctify and honor, bless thy truth to every heart, according to thy will, in Jesus' name. Amen.